Well, welcome to CCV, everybody, on this last weekend of the year. And I just thought it would be appropriate if we just kind of did a little bit of a year-end review. So if it's all right with you, I want to show you some of the life stories that we've used in sermons over the past 12 months. And really, kind of my agenda is to help you think through our strategy at CCV through the stories that we tell. So you know this probably, that our mission is win, train, send. Win people to Christ, train believers to become disciples, and then send disciples to impact the world. Now, if you drew this on a screen, it would look something like this. That you have this kind of a life cycle graphic. And I want to walk you through this because it really all begins up here with committing your life to Christ. Once you decide to follow Jesus, you give your life to Him, it's not over. We want to move you through a life cycle that empowers you to actually coach other people in their journey with Jesus. So I'm going to show you some of the videos that we've shown over the year that are just stories of people that are doing that. But it all begins, really, with committing your life to Christ. Now, what does that look like? Around here, we're pretty simple. We just want to do Bible things in Bible ways. So the very first time the gospel was ever preached, and what I mean by gospel is this is the message of Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. It was the Apostle Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost in the Temple of Jerusalem, and in front of thousands of people, he announced that Jesus died for their sins. Now, what that means for you is you have no more need for guilt, no more need for shame, no more need to fear judgment. That's why they call it good news. And not only did Jesus die for you, he rose again from the dead. So you know that because he rose, someday you'll rise from the dead and spend eternity with God. So he preaches this message, and the people, for the first time hearing this good news, said, yeah, we want it. What do we do? What's our next step? And Peter said this, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is such a powerful promise. We keep announcing it to people around here and going, like, if you want your sins forgiven, if you want a new lease on life, if you want a connection with God, be baptized. Imitate Jesus in burial in water and imitate Jesus in resurrection. Really, all we're doing is imitating what Jesus did for us. And if you're new to this concept, let me just show you what it looks like. Here are a few of the photos of some of our baptisms in the year 2018. I know, right? You can applaud for that. But God, keep applauding because we're not done yet. It just keeps going and going and going and going. And every photo is a life changed. Every photo is a story of someone who matters desperately to God and dearly to us at CCV. We can celebrate that now. Come on. Okay, you want to know a little secret? What I just showed you is not half of the baptisms at CCV. If I were to show you a photo of everyone baptized at CCV in 2018, at this speed that you just saw, it would go for 15 minutes. Holy cow. 3,774 people were baptized into Christ. That was before Christmas. Two more were baptized after that I know of. So come on, we may hit 4,000. God is doing amazing things. So when we talk about your commitment to Christ, we never want you to stay here. We always want you to coach other people in their next step of faith. Now, that may seem intimidating to you, but it doesn't have to be. Look, you don't need a title of pastor to help people take their next step. You don't need to know a bunch about the Bible. You don't have to be powerful or popular or outgoing. You know what you need? To do for someone else what someone else did for you. The Apostle Paul, one of the last things he wrote was to his young protege, Timothy. He said, "The things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." So if you know how to take a step, you are ready to coach someone in taking the same step that you just took. Now, what does that look like? You might remember one of the stories we shared this past year was Ryan and Allie Scalf. They're just normal people like you, like me, who wanted to use what God had given them to help someone else along their journey. Take a look at this compressed version of their life story.
My name's Ryan, this is my wife Allie, and we're youth coaches at CCV Peoria.
Hey guys, we're walking up on CCV High School. We're super pumped to be here. One of my guys is getting baptized tonight. Can't wait.
2, 3.
I always knew that I wanted to be involved with the youth somewhere. And when I moved back to Phoenix, I thought, what better place than the place that made me who I am? It's just been awesome to serve in a way that people served me when I was in high school, when I had all these questions. Now to be a part of that is just an awesome opportunity, leading alongside some people who led me when I was in high school.
There was no doubt in our mind that we wanted to be involved in youth. And we're crazy, I mean, we love high schoolers. It's cool to just share with them what we've been through and, you know, just to point them to Jesus, because most other things in their life are not pointing them towards Jesus, and they're just hungry for that.
All we do is just facilitate, you know, those conversations, give them an open spot and safe spot for them to communicate. And when they put their trust in Jesus, it changes everything. And just to see that from a leader point of view, it makes me so proud.
There's something so special about calling a church home and sharing it with, you know, friends that become family, and they just really know you and they're willing to invest in you, and that's huge.
Being a Christ-centered difference maker to me means stepping aside and making way for God to actually use you in your life. God will work things out in a way that honors God, and I just want to be a part of it.
Don't you just love your church? And it's not because of what happens on stage. It's because of people like Ryan and Allie, and they're all over on all 9 campuses just doing for someone else what someone has already done for them. And that could be you in 2019. We want to help move you from mere commitment to Christ to coaching for Christ. And to make this really manageable, we've identified 5 next steps that will help you move from your initial commitment, that's the win, to your ultimate commitment, which is the send, through a training. And it's every week, it's all year long, we help you take your next step. And if that's you and you think, man, I want that to be my story in 2019, I would suggest this is your first next step, if you haven't taken it already, to connect to a neighborhood group. Because if your ability to coach others is in direct proportion to the relationships that you have of other people pouring into you. The Apostle Paul said, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. Every person in every seat on every campus has some gift of God to contribute to the body of Christ. And we want you to be able to use and leverage your story for God's good." You know, the neighborhood groups are, they're different than the weekend service. In a service like this, where you're sitting on whatever campus, you have a large group of people and it is inspiring. But if you want to move from inspiration to transformation, you don't go big, you go small, and you go home to someone's living room where you have a group of people heading in the same spiritual direction as you. And that's going to give you the strength you need to go through life. I want to share a story with you. In this story, it's of Brian and Ashley Hooper. They had a tragedy this last year where Ashley found out while she was pregnant that she had no amniotic fluid. They knew they were going to lose their baby. When they talked to one of our neighborhood pastors, this is what unfolded. Watch this.
I'll be honest with you, I'm antisocial. And so Daniel basically got back with us and said, we have the perfect group for you, I think.
Brian and I looked at each other and we're like, what do we have to lose? Like, stop making excuses, let's just go. And it was scary walking in.
There's an informal guideline to go by about the past sermon. And so when Ryan asked if we had to share anything, I just kind of felt compelled to discuss what was going on, which then compelled another couple in the group to kind of discuss what they were going through.
It was almost like each couple had something heavy on their minds that they hadn't shared over the past couple months, that Brian and Ashley coming and sharing their story and that incredibly emotional time just really opened up the group to share their stories.
To this day, we talk about it, and I feel like that night really glued our group together.
So after Cody passed, obviously we were in a very dark place. The very next morning, we had members from our church group there at the hospital. It was comforting just knowing that those folks were in the thick of it with us emotionally. I feel like these relationships are something that are going to last a lifetime.
The relationships in life are what really mean the most. And so just having them be, just completely invested in us as a family.
You know, there's been times where I've gone golfing with Ryan, or Ashley's in a workout group with a couple of the other girls.
They become part of your life. So it's not just your Tuesday night church group. Like, our whole week is like sprinkled with pieces of our group.
Things look better. Our faith is stronger. Our relationship is stronger. Our kids like it. I think immersing ourselves in faith in a neighborhood group and just generally trying to be better, I think really saved what sanity we had.
Because you have other people that are like-minded, but they have a different viewpoint of how to look at things. And so when you can take that lens and apply it to your life, things get clearer. And I don't even really look at his death as bad, because it brought us back to God. That's really hard to say, but I think without our neighborhood group, it's crazy to think where we might have been.
You might think that that's an outlier story. You know, the Hoopers went through a tragedy, the group was there. But I'm telling you, that's not so unusual. Every week, there are groups all over the city that engage with someone at a point of crisis and need. I was reminded of that again just 2 weeks ago. My wife and I took our grandson to a Christmas concert. And we parked in the lot and we're getting out of the car, and this couple started calling our names. They were CCV people who just, hey, we've never met you before. We honored to meet you, and it was an honor for us to meet them as well. Desiree and Mark have been coming to CCV for quite a while. They had their 9-year-old daughter, just a cute little girl. And we got about 100 yards to walk into the concert, so I just started asking about their life. And she was going that weekend to stay with her mother, who's struggling with cancer and that whole treatment. And then Mark was telling me he was going to stay home and redo some of the tile in their house. They're doing some renovations. That was Friday night. Monday morning, I learned that Desiree couldn't get a hold of Mark. On her way home, she's calling him. He won't pick up. She gets home, and he's on the couch laying there, and she went to give him a kiss. 40 years old. He had died. Obviously, this is a tragedy that's going to continue for a while. I mean, they put their family into a tailspin. The first person that she called was not me. It wasn't her campus pastor. It wasn't even an associate pastor over her neighborhood region. You know who she called first? Her neighborhood group leader. And Israel is his name. He called the troops, and they surrounded their home. They showed up in a big way. They helped them go through the preparations for a funeral, for all of the paperwork, and all the things that happen when someone dies. Their neighborhood group even paid for the funeral, because that's what family does. And I know that you may not need a neighborhood group right now. You will. But even if you don't need a neighborhood group, there's a group that needs you. And what you have to offer, how you can engage in someone else's life at their point of need, if you want to move from simply being committed to Christ to coaching for Christ, then being a part, being connected to a neighborhood group is essential for the working of this body. The greatest things that happen at CCV aren't from the stage. It's in neighborhoods like yours and living rooms all around this city. And one of the subtle benefits of these neighborhood groups is one of our next steps right here, where you share your story. Look, all of us want to be more bold with our faith. I mean, what Jesus has done for me deserves way more attention than I often give it, probably you as well. Where do you find the boldness to proclaim Christ? It's in the people that you surround yourself with. When the Apostle Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes," that strength, that boldness, that power doesn't come from you. It comes from the community that you do life with. And so I just wanted to share a story. It's probably going to be familiar to you if you've kind of been attending services at CCV. It's an unlikely man who became an unlikely storyteller when he shares his stories, not just with his lips, but with his hands. He's a man from the Surprise Campus called Nate Miller. Here's a snippet of his story.
My parents had us when they were very young. All I remember when I was younger was them fighting. As I grew older, my mother wound up taking me. But in this environment, it was another just toxic environment. People were fighting, drinking, doing drugs. The police department wound up coming to our house. They wind up just taking us, stripping us away and taking us into foster homes. That was probably one of the scariest times of my life. A lot of the kids back in the day became passionate about gangs and finding their loyalty there and giving their heart and everything to it just because they felt like the bonds of their friendships that they made or some of the people who would have their back. Well, God did that for me. And even though I was abandoned and rejected and as a child, he lifted me up and gave me inspiration and helped me. All the lessons that I've learned from my youth to now, I try to share with them and share my story with them also, just through love and the power of God that I made it through. And it's okay. That's my sole passion. It really is. I burn for that every day.
If you want to move from commitment to Christ to coaching for Christ, you share your life with a connection group, neighborhood group. You share your story because the boldness you get from them. You know what else you share? that you know this is coming, you give. Now, I know some of you, this is kind of uncomfortable for you. Honestly, it's not uncomfortable for me at all. Look, if you think that we want your money to do ministry, you're wrong. We're grateful for every generous gift that people give, and we do steward it well to make a massive impact on this valley. But listen, if you think that we just want your money, don't give. But if you want a deeper connection to God, a deeper sense of significance with your life, giving is essential. And I want to tell you why. Jesus said it himself, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We often think that we invest in things that are important to us. The reality is the majority of times, what is important to us is what we have invested in. And if you want to move from connecting to coaching, if you want to mature as a believer and invest in other people, then what you need to do is put your money where you want your heart to follow. Now, I could stand up here and try to convince you of that, or I could just share a story. This may seem familiar to you. You've seen it before. It is the story that really is reflected in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. It's the story of Michael and Maria O'Malley.
And God said, give. It's time, give. And I just remember kind of arguing with God, going, no, not right now. I'm not ready yet. And he said, give, it's time. And after church, I looked at her and I didn't have my wallet on me. I said, babe, I need the debit card. We're gonna tithe.
And I was like, here you go, here it is. And I just felt so unbelievably proud and happy that finally, like, the message had been heard and the man had been open to it.
And it wasn't until I looked at it as something other than mine, and it was all God's, and that he had gifted it to me, and I was only a steward of what was his, that I could get my mind into a situation where I was able to give with a giving heart. We got through the month, and then we made it to the next month, and it was an incredible experience of how quickly life had transformed from the time of us giving. So the way I look at it now, I'm excited. It's almost something to where it's hard not to talk about with people at first. Because when you start to realize the power of giving and what it does in your life and how it affects every aspect of your life, it's an exciting thing to want to talk about. I think the most important thing is that God have your heart. And God's like, I'll bless you with as much as you can handle, but I have to have your heart.
You might see a pattern developing here, that Ryan and Allie coached because they were coached. The O'Malleys gave because it had been given to them. Nate shared because someone shared with him. When you get in a group, you connect with others because someone connected with you. This next step of serving is the same thing. You serve because someone had served you. And really, that began with Jesus Christ. You know, our whole journey with Jesus begins at baptism. And when we're baptized, all we're doing is imitating Jesus. And when we serve, all we're doing is imitating Jesus. He himself said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And my very favorite story of 2018, maybe you remember it, is the story of the Dominguez family. They came to CCV with a need, and they were served in a very specific way, and they became servants to other people who had that same specific need. Watch this short of their story.
I was a business executive. She's a public school teacher. You know, we had our life planned out and mapped out, and it was within an instant changed overnight.
He got meningitis, and the meningitis ate both back sections of the brain. And because of that, he's had a lot of issues. He's got cortical blindness. He has cerebral palsy. He cannot walk. He cannot talk.
It was that release for the first time ever to be able to just walk away from Xander knowing that he was
well provided,
taken care of.
The special needs ministry is everything to us. I was able to take him and I was able to go to worship, and it was just this major turning point for our family, especially for me, because I was able to worship. I was able to worship without any worry. I was able to put focus on God. So Alex called Heidi and said, "Do you have any neighborhood groups with special needs there at Surprise?" And she said, "No, how would you like to start one?" So we're like, okay. They show up with all of their burdens for raising special needs on their shoulders, and they just spew it out, and we spew it out with them, and we've just developed really tight bonds with our group. To see his joy brought joy to our lives. That's what became the most important thing. That's what brought us joy and being spiritually fed as a family.
I'm gonna show you the stuff that's really gonna make you happy. Now we're coasting on that roller coaster, just enjoying the benefits of that coast. Even though it was tough to get to here, he got us here. And I'm just looking forward to where he goes with it.
I got a text from Alex this morning. They'd taken Xander to the hospital. He had stopped breathing, and the doctors weren't able to revive him. At 1:15 this morning, Xander was embraced by Jesus, not his parents. And of course, there's a sense of relief because he's not in pain anymore, and he had been all his life. But there's also a sense of paralyzing loss for Laura and Alex and Xander's twin sister. Pray for their family. I asked him whether he wanted me to go ahead and share their story, and he said, "Xander is such a beautiful person. The world needs to know that there was a Xander here." What I want you to know is that the very group that Laura and Alex started to minister to other families in ways that only they could understand, that is the very group that right now surrounds them. Laura and Alex's pain won't go away, but neither will their group. I love this church. Guys, this isn't a game to me. We are impacting this valley for Jesus Christ, one person at a time, one story at a time, one family at a time. And the power of what God is doing here is so extraordinary. I don't want you to miss it. And I don't want you to miss out on contributing to what God has for you to contribute to our church, to our community. We want to win, train, send. We want to affect the entire valley for Jesus Christ. We can't have you just be one for Christ. We need you trained for Christ so that you can be sent for Christ. And obviously, as you look at this graphic, you go, wait a minute, there's something missing right here. You know what it is? It might be you. Because this is the step of worship. Just showing up on the weekends and honoring God with your voice. Eating meals with other people and encouraging other people and getting connected in groups together. That's what it's all about. And if over the last few minutes you looked at some of the stories and said, "I don't remember that story, I don't remember that story," it may be because you missed that week. Now look, I don't want to make anybody feel guilty or bad. I want to just bust your chops. But the reality is, 4 weeks in out of a month, the average CCV person, now I'm not talking about visitors, I'm talking about people who say, CCV is my home church. The average person comes out of 4 weekends in a month, 1.5. If you showed up at 38% of your workouts or 38% of the time at work, you wouldn't meet your goals. And if you've wondered why you're not growing spiritually, maybe it's because you missed the very weekend when we talked about and coached you, trained you for your next step. I don't want you to miss your next step, not because of you alone, but because this could be you that moves to this. This could be you affecting the lives of dozens or hundreds of other people with the gifts that God has given you. So if you have been served, serve. If you have been given, then give. If someone has shared with you, then share. If someone has connected you with connect, we need you in worship because it is here that everything else is built upon. And so my prayer for you, and this is your takeaway, to increase your worship to consistency. Because I got to tell you, just looking over what we preached in 2018, it was a full, balanced diet. And I couldn't be more excited about 2019. I've had a sneak preview of what we're going to preach on. And guys, I'm telling you, it's good. It will begin next week with one of our most important series on relationships. You don't want to miss it, because if you do, it will hinder your growth in moving from commitment to coaching for Christ. I will pray for you. Lord, we're so honored to be given the gifts that you've given us, the resources, the people, the opportunities. And we praise you now for such goodness in the Word of God, such goodness in the fellowship we have at this church, in the resources that you put at our disposal to move from merely commitment to Christ to coaching for Christ. Make it so by the power of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's go out and make him famous.